for those of you that are here, for the younger ones, they may want to go back. I'm going to ask them to. I'm going to ask them if they'll do some of the hokey pokey with me this morning, and you may have to though explain to them what that is because they may not know. Who knows what the hokey pokey is? Just kind of let me see. You know what the hokey pokey is, right? Okay, so you know the way that it starts. You know, what is it? Put your left foot in, and you don't have to necessarily. Okay. of course, if you're in a boot, you guess you get an allowance. You don't have to do that. But instead of putting our left foot in, we're going to actually, I think, do our hands. But as we do this today, just be careful. You don't smack somebody, you know, or knock them out this morning. We don't need to have a healing service in that regard. But anyways, so, you know, how does it go? Does any of the kids, you guys are welcome to participate. We're going to have a little fun with this. There's going to be multiple times where you're going to get a cue, so you have to be seeing the screens. It's going to tell you hokey pokey, but it's going to go right in with it. So whenever we do that, I'll stop with us, and we'll do left hand, right? You want to do left hand? So we'll put the left hand in, put the left hand out, put the left hand in, and what? Shake it all of that. All right. I didn't think the adults would do it, so I'm pretty happy. That's a plus. I just thought the kids, you know, like, I'm too cool. I'm an adult now. Don't want to do that. Well, what will people think? But so maybe that's what we're going to do. Okay, so you got that in your head, so let me give you a moment to get over the fear of that. And don't leave me. So I'm going to have our, it's all good. I'm going to have our ushers come forward. She's like, I think we're just going to skip the offering today. I promise you we are not. Hey, I'd love to invite our ushers to come forward. Hey, when we give not out of compulsion that we have to, we give out of the privilege to be able to present back to God a portion of what He's already given to us. And that's what we're doing today. So may the Lord bless our tithes, our offerings today for His glory, for the growth of His kingdom, and that more people are going to come to know Jesus because of what we give, because we're investing in this kingdom work today. And so as we're giving, Lord, may You bless it and multiply it in ways we don't even understand today, but You do. And so we're going to trust You today to advance Your kingdom, and thank You for this privilege to partner with You today. Amen. Amen, amen. Who of you have heard a cheerful heart is good medicine? Right? Laughter is good for the soul, something like that, maybe, right? So we think that's just a euphemism. No, it's actually Proverbs 17:22. It says that laughter is truly good medicine. So I thought, well, we're going to have a challenging subject matter today, so let's infuse a little laughter in with it as well. And so, let's put that up on the screen here for us so we can see. Oh my goodness, that's our clue. Let's go. You can sing and in, you put your left hand out, you put your left hand in, and you shake it all about. All right, I'm not going to get too crazy with dancing. We'll just let it go with that. That's such a fun game. Anybody ever do that when you were roller skating? Yeah, uh-huh. So you remember doing that? You're like, whoa, you're taking me back a little bit this morning. I know. That it can be a fun game to play, but don't play spiritual hokey pokey. Don't play spiritual hokey pokey. One hand or one foot into worldliness and one hand or one foot trying to stay in godliness. Stepping back and forth, shaking that hand or shaking that foot, playing around, having a little fun. When you play spiritual hokey pokey, you chase after the lust of the flesh that seems to be, oh, so fun. Let me grab a hold of that. Let me kick it around. Let me play with it a little bit. We may chase after the pleasures that feel good. Or perhaps the lust of the eyes. Oh man, I got to have that. Now come on, I deserve it. Come on, I got to have it. The pride of life. That sounds really good. Man, that would like complete my collection. That would make my life so good if I could buy that. I could have that. In the book of James chapter 4, where we continue to kind of walk through over the last few weeks, in chapter 4, which is where we're going to be today, if you have a Bible and you want to follow along, feel free to do so. If you've got your phone or you've got the book, you know, as we kind of joke around. Most people don't use a ton of books anymore these days, as much as they used to. But in James chapter 4, we're going to walk through that chapter. And we're going to learn that whenever we choose worldliness, we create conflict with God. Look with me at James chapter 4, verse 4. What a great word to start out with, only just a few minutes into the sermon this morning. You would read it. Adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity or hostility against God? Go to the next one. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes, say it with me, an enemy of God. Well, isn't that encouraging this morning as we get going? And the Apostle John, he tells us why, and I'm going to jump to him, and that though we'll stay most of our time in James. Look what he writes. He says, everything that is in the world, the craving for whatever the body feels, the craving for whatever the eyes see, and the arrogant pride in one's possessions is not of the Father, but is of the world. Are you encouraged yet? Someday I got to learn to stop asking questions, because I never know what I'm going to get if I ask these questions just out loud. Do you like that James used that wonderful word that starts with an A? Adulterous. You adulterous people. And he uses that word to describe the person who keeps putting one foot in the world and one into living in godliness. And he creates this image that he talks about later of being double-minded. Right? So which means you're acting like, on one hand, an unfaithful, rebellious person against God and His way and the teachings of Christ and being a committed follower of Jesus, while on the other hand, you claim to be that fully committed follower of Jesus, right? Like, I'm in it to win it kind of thing. One hand, you claim it, but on the other hand, you keep dabbling, putting it in, left foot out. All right, that's all I got. You might say, well, I believe in Jesus, yeah, but I want to have my cake and eat it too. I believe in Jesus, yeah. But I'm not going to live any differently because, you know, you only live once. YOLO. Come on now. You might run after what you seek and make you feel good in the flesh without considering what is that going to cost you. To say yes to something, you have to say no to something else. That's just the way that it works. What might that cost you? And what might it be costing the people dear to you, around you? You're so caught up in, I gotta, me. And you stop to consider that what you're chasing is impacting the people around you. But you're so focused on you, you're not considering and seeing the bigger picture. Maybe you covet something that you want badly. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and I remember a time when I coveted something. You guys know what the word covet means, right? So I gotta have this, right? And he said, I was coveting something so bad. He said, I stopped my tithe and offering to God so that I could save up my money so that I could buy it. Covet it so bad. God, you can wait, because I can't. I got to have it now. My way, right away. Or perhaps you've always got to be right. I don't think that's anybody in this room, okay? But in case you ever meet somebody that fits this, I don't know. But maybe you got to always be right, you know, never admitting that you're wrong. And even when you know you're wrong, you won't admit it. You'll place blame on somebody else rather than swallow your pride and admit that you were wrong. And if someone were to ask you, why do you do that? You might not even know why. Maybe, but you might not. Or you look at what you have and think, man, don't I deserve that? Because I've worked for it, man. If they knew how hard I've worked, I deserve it. This ought to be mine. And that kind of stuff is arrogant pride, having to be right, saying, I deserve it, I have to have it, I'm due it. That's arrogant pride, because what it does is it denies a humble spirit of Christ that is within you. Remember, James is talking to the church. He's not talking to unbelievers when he writes this letter and it goes out to people. He's talking, you can look at James chapter 1. He's talking to believers who have claimed to be followers of Jesus, but yet the way they're acting in their communities and in the local churches is off mark of what Jesus had taught and what the apostles had been teaching. And he calls them out. I know that every one of us faces the temptation at some points to exalt ourselves for our own pleasures instead of exalting God. I'm not naive. I have the same temptations as well. It comes. James understood that the temptations to exalt ourselves over God and to say it ought to be me first, God can wait. It ought to be my way, then God's way second. James said that temptation, that comes from the enemy. It comes from the devil. Because what the devil has been trying to do is to drive a wedge of separation in between you and your God. When he was there with Jesus out in the wilderness after Jesus was baptized, that's the very thing that the devil was trying to do with Jesus, was to get Jesus to doubt and to deny and to not uphold his identity and the promises laid out before him, who he was, why he was there, what he was to accomplish. He says, hey, buddy, listen. If you just look my way, if you just play it my way, if you just say this, if you just do this, look what I can give you. You know what you can do. Come on, just do it, man. What does it matter about anybody else or your Father in heaven? If you can get yourself what you want, then just go do it, man. Don't worry about your Father. Always trying to drive a wedge. He's pretty good at it. Where do you think James learned that teaching about the power of temptation and the work of the devil? Anybody have a guess?
Jesus.
I heard somebody say that. Who somebody said that? Derek? Jesus, right? Jesus knew that you can't play spiritual. Put your left hand in, put your left hand out, put your left hand in, and shake it all about. You guys are so good. And he taught it in Luke 16:13. You can read it. He says this. He goes, no one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. You cannot on one hand say, I am committed to God as a follower of Jesus, and on the other hand say, I'm committed to the ways of the world, and I want to put my left foot in. He says you can't play both sides of the fence. You can't have your cake and eat it too if that's what you want. He said it doesn't work that way. But in fact, you weren't even created for that. You weren't saved for that. You weren't sanctified for that, if we really want to get theological this morning. Mm-mm. God brought you into a covenant relationship with him, brought you into his family, so that you could enjoy the same closeness with him that he created you and saved you to have. That, do you know that that has always been God's desire for you? While the world is pulling one way, God is always pulling the other way. He's always pulling you close to him. He's saying, I created you to be with me. Who walked with the Lord in the garden back in Genesis? Before, right, who was walking in the garden?
Adam and Eve.
He created them for that, to walk with him. You were created to walk with God, not to be your own God. Now that'll preach. When God made the covenant with Israel through Moses, He was inviting them into a relationship, right? Into a promise, into a journey, to be a family that would walk with him and to love him and know his love and to love others and to know the love of others directed towards you. That was the design. That was the game plan. Football's coming. That was the game plan. Jesus came through the cross. Right, he didn't come through. He came and then he went to the cross. Why? So that those who are at enmity, at odds with God, or separated from God because of their sin, could be forgiven, restored to God, and enjoy a relationship that God created you to have from the very beginning. The promise and the work of the cross. In James chapter verse 5, I should say, James shifts the focus. And look at what he writes, what he wrote in verse 5. I know, I feel like I've just, you're like, all you're doing is beating me up today, Pastor. Stepping on my toes. Okay, well, let's turn it around a little bit then. Look at verse 5. He says, or do you think, that he's pointing them to God. He says, or do you think that Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? I like the way the Common English Bible writes it, translates it. It says, doesn't God long for our faithfulness in the life he has given to us? God longs for us to not play spiritual, what? Put your left hand in, put your left hand out. God longs for us not to play that spiritual game, but to commune with him and to walk with him daily. To inhale grace, if you will, exhale worship every day. Every day, right? So much that he gives you something to help you do that. Look at verse 6. But he gives us more, what? Grace. This is why it says, God stands against the proud, but favors the humble. God gives grace. When we don't feel like we have what it takes to be faithful to God, God gives grace. When we may feel that we have really screwed up too bad, and there's no way that God is going to be able to forgive me, God gives grace. Oh, if God only knew my baggage. Isn't that what we say? I mean, you know, like, if God only knew. Well, he does. And God gives grace. If God knew how stubborn I was and hard-headed and that it's too old to teach an old dog new tricks. He does. He knows it. And what does he do? Gives more grace. A prevening grace that invites you to repent and draw close to God. A justifying grace that forgives you so that you can have that relationship with God. And sanctifying grace that sets you apart for the work that he has called you to do in his name, and that you can have the presence of God to be able to live that life every day. But it's so hard, Pastor. It's so hard. You know what temptations, every time I turn my phone on, hit me? Do you know the things that I see when I watch? What I listen to? The people that I spend time with? The people I work around? Pastor, do you know the kind of things that they say? I can imagine. Being a pastor wasn't my first gig. I used to work in accounting. I had a job working out in the world. Public accounting, private accounting, natural gas utility. I worked in those fields. Go to work every day, right? Like, I know that rhythm, man. I get it. And now I do that same thing here as a pastor at New Hope. This is by far better. I love it. Amen. This is great. You guys are amazing. I love what God has been doing and what he's done amongst us over the last 4 years. It's truly phenomenal. And he's not done, okay? He's not done. And I want to tell you, hey, everybody, look at me real quick. Look at me. God's not done with you. He is not done with you, and we are thankful too. God is not done with you. Well, I'm settled in my ways. That's not God's opinion and desire for you. That's your own stubborn thinking. God's not done with you. But I'm tired. And I put my time in. Yeah, probably. But I don't feel well. Yeah, you may. And I'm not being crass or cold-hearted, but I'll speak the truth to say that if you still have breath in your lungs and you can still function and move, I'm going to tell you, God's not done with you. It's just that what you do may need to change according to what you can do by the season that you're in and the place that you're at. It's not God who says, don't do anything. It's the stinking thinking that we say to ourselves that says, I can't. God says, no, by grace you can. By grace you can be faithful. And by grace you can bear fruit. So what can we do with that grace if we've been playing that particular game? Our response comes from James. I'm not going to read it all, but if you look at verses 7 through 11 in your Bible, you'll see what James offers as a response. And he doesn't pull any punches. He just he gets right to it. And I love the top of his list is what? Surrender, submit to God, which is obey God. Obey God rather than obeying the desire, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Make a decision. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. As for me, I will submit to God. It's got to start with submission to God. But that's something that God gives you the grace to be able to live out daily. Praise God for that one. And then he hits another one, and he goes, resist the devil. Stand against his temptations. And then come near to God. Embrace God with faith that leans into the Scriptures. How many of you have a Bible? Don't raise your hand. Do you read your Bible? Don't raise your hand. Lean into God through leaning into the Word of God. Get to know God better through exploring the Scriptures. You don't have to have a Master of Divinity. You just have to have the desire and make the choice to seek God in the Scriptures. And He will reveal Himself to you. That is His promise to us. And pray. Receive forgiveness as you repent of sin. Own your sin without excuses. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Edify others. Don't speak bad of people. I've said it before, and I'm going to say this again. Just because you can say it doesn't mean you should say it. I didn't get an amen on that one. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you can, I can't help it. Yes, you can. By grace, you can. You have a choice. Greater is the grace of God and the power of God in you than he that is in the world. I'm telling you that you have a choice. It is the church in a world of division and speaking fiery darts of evil through social media and through news and through work and in schools, that the church has to be the people that say, I have a choice and I make my choice, and it is to choose to speak well, speak words of life, to speak words of hope and encouragement, not words of condemnation. But that's what was spoken to me. I know, but you have a choice. By the power of grace, you can choose. You are not trapped. That's the devil. James says, resist that temptation to think that you are other than you truly are. Empowered with the living Spirit of God. Talk like it. Act like it. Work like it. Pray like it. I should preach that one day. So James takes all those nuggets, and here's the final thing that I give you. Just like he does, he just kind of cuts it off. He lays them all on the table, and then he says this, James 4:17. Kind of saves the toughest one for last, maybe. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Whew. It's heavy. That is heavy. What wise choice will you make now with the wisdom you now know? Anytime. What wise choice will you make now with the wisdom you now know? Do you have a tendency to respond a certain way when you get frustrated and upset? You don't have to answer that. Do you have a habit? Do you find that you may have a habit of responding a certain way? It might be passive aggressive. It may be outright like a tank. You just run people over, man. I'm ticked. I don't care. Maybe you stand off from a distance and you just like, oh, shot to the heart from the distance. And then you retreat, right? You take a stab from a distance, right? Maybe social media or a gossip, something to put somebody else in their place. I don't know. And maybe you don't. Maybe you have, by the Spirit of God, have cleaned all that up. But if not, I want to encourage you today. So what's the one thing maybe I could take away from this today? Maybe one thing is to consider, what is that habit of how you respond? And say, Lord, this is what, again, I lay before you. And I bow before you and surrender. I repent of this. I ask that you would heal me of this. I believe, help me in this struggle of mine. Help me to be aware and to know when I'm about to do that habit. And to remember, I don't have to do that. I have a choice. God, help me make the loving choice to edify and to not tear down. This is why we had to do the hokey pokey, because this is heavy. But it's in the Scripture, so we can't run from it. We got to lay it out there, and we got to talk about it, right? We got to be honest and truthful about it and call it what it is. Because the point is that we would be in the world, but not of the world. And the only way you don't act like the rest of the world is that the Spirit of God sanctifies you and cleans you, transforms you, restores you, builds you anew, and gives you a new heart for your old one. That the world will see you and know that you are a follower of Jesus by the way you love God and love others. Like Jesus. And Jesus does not put a foot into worldliness and a foot back and a foot into world. He doesn't do that. That's not his way. God, help me to be like Jesus by your Spirit in me.